In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you like fables? I love fables like this one. A trapper caught a bird, and the bird said to him, "If you let me go free and live, I will give you three words of wisdom." Well, the trapper, of course, had never heard a bird speak before, so he said, "Give me your three words of wisdom, and if they are valuable to me, I will let you go three." And the bird said, "Number one, if someone tells you something absurd, don't believe it, no matter how trustworthy the speaker is. Number two, if you do a good deed for someone, never regret doing it. And number three, don't try to reach something that is too high for you." The trapper thought that those were very valuable words of wisdom, and he let the bird go free. The bird hopped a few feet away and said, "You fool, I have a diamond in my stomach, and if you had killed me, you would now be a rich man." The trapper flew into a rage and ran after the bird to kill it. The bird flew up into a tree. The man climbed into the tree to get the bird. The bird went higher and higher. The man climbed higher and higher. Finally, he leaped to grab the bird, missed the bird, fell, and broke his legs. The bird came to him and said, "I told you that I had a diamond in my stomach. That was absurd, and yet you believed me. Immediately, you regretted the good thing you had done in setting me free, and you tried to capture and kill me. Chasing me in the tree was a very bad idea. I was much too high for you, and yet you tried to reach me anyway. And now, here we are. How quickly you forgot the things that you said you believed." How quickly we all forget the things we say we believe. All over my house and my office, there are religious paintings and pictures and plaques, and many of them have Bible verses on them or other inspirational sayings. "Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus, I believe in you." I put those there intentionally so that I would see them and be inspired by them or comforted by them, as the events of the day might suggest. But in fact, I have to confess that I've been so accustomed to them just being there that most days I really don't consciously see them. I ignore the wisdom I believe. I ignore what God is saying to me. You too. That may be true regarding the 23rd Psalm for many of us. We have heard it so many times that it becomes rote and we don't really think about what it means. It doesn't make an impression on us when we hear it anymore. Yet what the 23rd Psalm has to say to us is incredibly wise and incredibly valuable to us. It's something that we should pay attention to. Its meaning is not too high for us to grasp. So let's dust off the 23rd Psalm today and hear it again for the first time. As I was preparing for this sermon, what really leapt out at me is that the image of God in the first half of the psalm to the image of God in the second half of the psalm changes very much. Have you ever noticed that the 23rd Psalm begins with the image of God as a shepherd feeding and taking care of us, his sheep? And it ends with an image of God as the host of a great banquet, again caring and feeding for us who are now his friends. I guess I always knew that, but hadn't really thought about it much lately. The 23rd Psalm that we read today is a newer translation than the old King James Version that is so familiar to many of us. It may be an improvement in some ways because it drops the these and the thous that can be confusing. And although I do myself prefer the old and familiar, the slightly new version might wake us up a bit. The psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And there we have the basic functions and duties of a shepherd applied metaphorically to the Lord. Sheep do consume quite a bit of grass, and so the shepherd has to constantly keep them in motion, seeking out new places to find food for them. Sheep, of course, also need water, and not being the brightest of animals, they will drink unclean water if you don't watch out. So the shepherd has to be constantly directing them to clean water, too. Now, we might think that sheep are not too smart, but don't we human beings also get ourselves into trouble over-consuming what isn't healthy for us, both physically and spiritually? How does God nourish our spirits then, as a shepherd nourishes his flock? One way is through our worship, our liturgy. The first half of our worship each Sunday is sometimes called the Liturgy of the Word. Each Sunday, the front part of our service has a psalm, an Old Testament reading, an epistle reading, a gospel, prayers, and other liturgical pieces based on the Bible. That is a heaping helping of the Bible. God's Word is our spiritual food and drink, and through his word, he gives us directions for daily living in this world and assures us of our place in the world to come. The psalm continues, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." One thing that struck me about this verse is the word that is translated right there, describing the pathways, can also be described or translated as safe pathways. Now, not every safe pathway is a righteous pathway, but the righteous pathway is always the safest in the long run. Pathway to God, of course, is the word. The word present in the person of Jesus Christ, and the word that is also present in the written word, the Bible. We are right and we are safe when we let the Bible be our guide to the Father. We hear people say a lot today, well, you know, God is still speaking, and that's true. But God is not contradicting what he has already said in Holy Scripture. Christ, who died and lives again, has not rescinded the truths that he taught us 2,000 years ago. I'm so glad that the translation we read today has retained some of the old King James language in the next verse of our psalm. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That valley of death is a valley we all know. Many of us have been there when a loved one died, or maybe when we nearly died ourselves. And we who have returned from that valley know that it is the Lord's doing that gave us the way out, not our own. There used to be a poster that said something like, Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil, for I am the meanest so-and-so in the valley. That's not how it works. If we are brave in the face of death, it is only because Christ is by our side. As you know, the shepherd used the rod to fend off the predators like wolves, and he used the staff to pull the straying sheep back into line. And haven't we had both experiences? The experience of God defending us when we were vulnerable, and the experience of God gently, or sometimes not so gently, correcting and disciplining us. Scripture tells us to not fear or detest the Lord's discipline, because he only disciplines those he loves so that we can be even more fit for service in his kingdom. Now, this is where the image of God abruptly changes in the 23rd Psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The shift to the image of God as banquet host also occurs in the second half of our worship. After the liturgy of the word comes the liturgy of the meal. The service moves from Bible reading and preaching to the celebration of Holy Communion. Holy Communion is the banquet that God prepares for us. It is the meal he feeds us that assures us of our forgiveness and makes us at one with him and at one with one another. Christ is truly the host of this sacred meal, and the invitation comes from him. And in a unique twist, Christ, who is the host, in that he is the founder of the feast, also becomes the host, another name for the bread we consume, as the creator of the universe condescends to become food for us. But then, in yet another incredible twist, our bodies become the host, the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, as God lives in us and works in us. Most amazing. 23rd Psalm ends, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Maybe you don't feel today like God's mercy and love and goodness are following you, and that's okay. We've all got our problems. As one of my friends says, we've all got our monkeys. The word translated follow there could also mean pursue. God will pursue you with his goodness and mercy. God will hunt you down and find you with his love. Christ died and rose again just for you. You cannot escape God's blessings. Here and in the hereafter, God is for you, and he will find you, and you will be blessed. Believe it, live it, love it. Christ will be our good shepherd, and that's wisdom you can believe. Amen.